The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, we're going to dive in. We started this study, I think, 3 weeks ago. We're on week three, called Being Rich and What Matters Most. If you haven't been following along, I really want to encourage you, if you've missed any of the weeks, because each week is kind of building on the previous week, if you go back to hopehillchurch.org or to iTunes and subscribe to the Hope Hill podcast, you'll be able to listen each week and get caught up. And so we want to encourage you to do that. This is a series that I think that if we as a church realize how much we're truly blessed and start living like blessed people, we'll realize that we are rich in the things that God has given us. And God wants to use us to change this world. The last series we did was on realizing the power of the Holy Spirit in our life and how we have the Holy Spirit who comes and is there to lead us and to gift us and to bless us. So God has gifted us spiritually, but we're also gifted, let's face it, financially. The very first week, we said there was good news and bad news. What was the good news? Hey, right. And so many of you left that day so excited to realize that we are rich. We are rich people. And we have rich people blessings, rich people opportunities, all kinds of things around us. GlobalRich.org statistically shows us that if you make $33,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the entire world's population. $33,000. So when the scriptures say, instruct those around you who are rich, that is us. We are the rich ones in this world, and we need to realize, what does it mean to be rich, and what do we do with these riches? We also learned there was bad news. What was the bad news? Same thing. Good news, we're rich. Bad news, we're rich. And when riches come, we can get distracted. We can get rich people problems. We get so many commitments, so many things we buy into. We don't know how to juggle them, and we're sitting here going everywhere trying to keep things balanced, and we have all kinds of issues. We get distracted. When we're rich, We can say, I don't need to depend on God or the church or Christian friends and family. I can take care of my own needs. And so we get distracted. We begin to depend more on ourselves. And then we get distracted by all the things we own. And we feel like we need more to maintain what we've got. And so it's bad news as well. Last week, we talked about the deceitfulness of riches. We talked about how we strive in life to get more, but there's always more to be had. Money promises happiness, money promises security, but as soon as you get sick, money can't buy you health. As soon as things fall apart, you can't have a big enough stack to fix things. The only thing that can bring us true joy and true security in life is God and a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we need to realize what riches truly are and live according. This week, we need to realize that if we are rich, which we are, those of us sitting in this room, we have been richly blessed by He who richly provides, God. And we need to ask ourselves, so then, how do we be rich? How is it that we can be the people God's called us to be as rich people? And today's title is called Rich Givers. And you're like, oh man, why did I come to church today? Well, hopefully you'll stick with me and we'll all be challenged together. We'll all be enlightened together. We'll all be given a vision of what God wants to do through us as we really stand before Him with open hands saying, God, yes, you've blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. And God, all that I have is yours. I give it to you and I ask that you use me as I use it to bring you glory and to impact those lives around us. So together, we're going to dive into this. A couple things that you need to know. First of all, how many of you enjoy being below average? Raise your hands. You like to be below average. Two people. Okay. Let's face it. Nobody likes to be below average. Studies, we've been referring to a lot of studies and statistics on the global economy, who makes what. And studies show that the more you make, the less you give. In fact, if you were to take all people that make a wage, if you take just the bottom 20% and the top 20% and you compare those, the bottom 20% of all people who donate or give to charitable organizations, the bottom 20% of wage earners, when you compare them to the top 20% of wage earners, the bottom give almost twice what the top people give. The more you make, our statistics, our census, our studies have shown the more you make, the less we'll give. And I include myself in that. I remember sitting in a seat like yours years ago, and I was challenged as a teenager to consider start giving back to God. And the story is really kind of cool. If you were here a year ago when we talked about giving, I told it then. So that's just to prime you for later. But it was easier to give back then when I was only having to give a small part. I had $20 a week. It was easy to give $2. But now that I make more, it can be definitely harder to give more. The bottom 20% gives more than twice as the top 20%. Other studies show that the biggest givers in our culture, in the United States, the biggest contributors percentage-wise to organizations, nonprofits, churches, charities, are those who make less than $12,000 a year. Below the poverty level. Those who make less than $12,000 a year give the highest percentage of all. But don't feel too bad. We are above average in some areas. Many of us in this room are above average shoppers, aren't we? How many of you like to shop? Okay, now you're not raising your hand because you don't want to admit it. We are so good at shopping that we know how to spend more than we even have. And we need to realize that many times in our community, in our society, in our culture, we find ways to spend things that we don't even have to spend. Our culture's made it easy for that to happen. By the time I graduated college, I think I had 4 credit cards, all maxed out. Now, sure, they were only $500 a piece, but they just hand them out because they know we're going to use it. They know we're going to spend it, and they know we're going to pay for it later. We need to realize that God has blessed us. And not only has God blessed us with riches, but he's blessed us not so that we'd spend it all on ourselves, but so that we would be a blessing. From the beginning of time, I keep referring back to Abraham, Father Abraham, being blessed in Genesis chapter 12. God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to all the nations. I'm going to bless you so you'll be a blessing. And all of us need to realize that God has blessed us for us to be a blessing to others. So here's the question today. Why did God make you rich? I know some of you are pushing back, but go back and listen to week 1 and you'll realize you're rich. If you're living in the United States, you're blessed. And we are blessed more than 1% of the rest of the world. I mean, we make up 1% if we make more than 33,000. You know what I'm saying. We're blessed. And so why did God make us blessed? First of all, like a father does, a father gives us things so that we can enjoy them. And God has blessed you with riches. God has blessed you with things in your life so that you, first of all, would enjoy it. God wants us to enjoy the things in life. God is not, and don't hear me wrong, we are not a church that's against you being blessed. Many of you have been blessed extremely in the areas of finances and material things, and you enjoy them, and we all should. We should enjoy the things that God's blessed us with. But God didn't just give us stuff for us to enjoy it. God gave us things so that we could be generous with them. 2 Corinthians 9:11. If you have your handouts, these notes are provided for you today, so you can fill in the blanks or follow along if you're a note taker. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says this. Paul was speaking to people who were in the top of society. And he said, like us here today, we make up the top 1% of all the people on the earth. He says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be what? Generous. On every occasion, as through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. We have been blessed so that we can be generous to others. My family has come to realize this. And believe me, we realize that God has blessed us in some major ways. 5 years ago, we lived in Springfield, Virginia. God blessed us in a time when the housing market was climbing and it was really difficult to buy a house or find a house you could afford. How many of you remember that season before everything fell down? Well, in the rise of everything, we found a townhouse up there that was going for about $100,000 less than what the other townhomes were going for. Yeah, it needed a lot of work. It was a foreclosure, but we were able to get in there and make the best of it. We lived there for 4 years, and then my wife came down with a rare disease in her hip. It literally left her to the point where one of her legs was completely paralyzed. The doctors weren't sure. They still don't know a cure for this disease. It's pigmented villonodular synovitis. Write that one down. And they don't know a cure, but they went in and they tried to treat her. They thought they could remove this illness that was eating away at her hip. And after the surgery was done, 5 surgeries later, she was in a wheelchair. Or living in a townhouse, multi-level living, washer and dryer in the basement, kitchen in the middle floor, bedrooms upstairs. You know how townhouses are. And it just wasn't working. We did the best to turn our basement into an apartment. We had many friends come over and help us. She had to give up her employment. But God blessed us. That year, we didn't skip a beat. Christ Chapel actually stepped up and said, we know what you're going through. My wife had done some consulting with Christ Chapel, and they said to us, we want to replace your income this year. I mean, that was huge. And then First Baptist Church, where I was employed at the time, they stepped up and they started pouring into us and surrounding us with love. And you know, Brandy wasn't sure she'd ever walk again. We knew we needed to find a different kind of home. But it was at that point, the prices had dropped and we weren't sure we could get out of our house. We listed our house for sale. And we listed it just barely more than we purchased it. In 2 days, it got in a bidding war, and we got $100,000 more than we paid for it. Okay, that's just unbelievable. Especially you guys were living here. Houses weren't selling like that. And God opened up the doors. We now live in this community. We couldn't afford Ashland. When these homes were built, they were like $700,000-$800,000 homes. Unbelievable. We were looking in for ranch one-level homes, ranch style, because we needed everything on one level. And our realtor was like, we're not finding anything, John. Let's look at a bigger house that maybe was like your last one that was foreclosed. Maybe you could get into it. Long story short, we moved in, and I'm not just rounding numbers off. We moved into this neighborhood for $100,000 less than what we sold our last house for. We were able to move in this neighborhood into our house where everything, the kitchen, a bedroom, bathroom, all one-story living, washer and dryer. And then thankfully, within months, my wife started getting the ability to walk back. And through the next year, through therapy, she's now up on her feet again. So thanks to God, God was there. God was there to bless us richly. Even when it didn't make sense, God was pouring into us. God gave us a blessing. And he gave us that for us to enjoy it. But also, from the moment we set foot in that house, we said, God, this is your house. You gave it to us. It's yours. It's not ours. We're not going to hold it to ourselves. God, anything you want done with this house, it's yours. And so we've had a church in that house. We've had, I think, 5 different families live in that house. We've had meetings in that house. Many of you have been in that house. It's God's house. God gave us that so that we could enjoy it, but also so that we could be generous with it and bless others. In small ways, even, God laid on our heart years ago, a lot of you, how many of you ever adopted a child through Compassion International or a program like that? We've adopted 2 children, and every once in a while, we'll get a letter back from the child that we sponsor. For $38 a month, you can make a difference in somebody else's life. And from the beginning, we were like, we want to be a blessing. God blessed us so we can help others. And we got this letter back just recently. It said, cousin's family, I know we've never met, but thank you so much for your support for me and my family. One day, I hope to meet you, but if not, I want to say I love you and I thank God for you. And it was just so huge to know that somebody living in another country that would go without is blessed by something small that we can give. God blessed us so that we can bless others. In 1 Timothy 6:18, this really is an excerpt from our key verse for this entire study. 1 Timothy 6:18 says what? What's the first word? Command. Command those who are rich to do good, to be rich in what? Good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Now, next week is going to be one of my favorite weeks in this series because we're going to stop talking about it and we're going to get out and we're going to do it. We're going to be rich in good deeds next week as we start loving on people, and we're going to put into practice what we've been challenged with. And a lot of you already, you're giving some great stuff for families in need. We're going to come back in 2 weeks and we're going to hit that good deeds talk really heavy. So I expect to see double the crowd. You're going to invite all your friends, right, that week? Yeah, exactly. So we need to realize that God has blessed us so we can be a blessing. And it wasn't just a suggestion. What was the first word in that verse? Command. It's a commandment. God commands us who are rich, and that's us that's sitting in this room. He commands us to be generous, to be loving, to be blessing others, to be rich in good deeds. It's not a suggestion. It's not a word of encouragement. It's a commandment. And we need to, as followers of Christ, commandments are there to be obeyed. So we've been building this key thought through the series, and I want to build on it some more today. We started the first week, and we can put up that long phrase. There you go. The first week we started with, God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. That was our first week. Realizing that we have, if we live in this country, we have the blessings that we have around us. We are richly blessed. The last week, we added on to the phrase, I will not trust in riches, which are so uncertain. I will not trust in riches, which can be gone in a moment. I will not trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides. And this week, we're going to add that last part. Because I have more, I will what? Give more. And so I want you to say this with me. Let's say it together. God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. I will not trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides. Because I have more, I will give more. We have more. As individuals, part of the curse and part of the blessing of riches is that you have more. And so God expects more from us. He wants us to give more. We will be made rich so that we can be generous. God has richly provided for us to enjoy it, but us also to share it with others. So let's dive in a little deeper. If we're rich, which I argue that we are, how do we act as rich people? How do truly rich people give? Number one, the way that truly rich people give is strategically. Strategically. You have notes, write that down. And if we grasp this concept, this will begin a life-changing transformation in us. We need to realize what strategic giving looks like. I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says this. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give what you have, say it with me, decided in your heart to give. I love this phrase because it speaks to us that it isn't just haphazard giving. It's not just spontaneous giving, which is good. But this phrase lets us know that we've given it some thought. We've pondered it. We've prayed about it. We've maybe talked with our spouse about it. We have others that we've maybe sought counsel. We've decided in our heart. We've given a lot of thought to how we should give. We need to give strategically. It goes on to say, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God wants us to love to give. He wants us to love what giving does in others, and He wants us to think about it. He wants us to be strategic in how we give. If we are giving the right way, we're going to love it. We're going to enjoy it. How many of you have ever given a gift and you were just so excited to give that gift to someone? Several years ago, we were down at one of my favorite places, Disney World. You guys like Disney World? We were down at Disney World and we were walking through this. Wait, who's here? Are any of my kids in here? I'm going to have to change the story. I'll just delete the or change the names to protect the innocent. All right, so anyway, we were in this one store, and I went to Brandy, and I said, Brandy, I can't look at this. Isn't this amazing? I wish I could tell you what it is, but I can't because she's in here. So anyway, I said, look at this. Isn't this amazing? And she was like, yes, yes, let's get them for the kids. And we looked, and the whoa, okay, they weren't cheap. We'll just leave it at that, okay? But I'm so excited because we've decided that we want to give it. And we decided years ago that this would be an amazing wedding present for each of our daughters. And so I've been so excited waiting for the one day, eventually, 15 years from now, when she'll get married and I'll be able to give it. But I'm so excited and I'm looking for excuses. Like, do we really have to wait till they get married? Can't we give it to them? Like, you know, Jordan's getting ready to graduate. What if we just do it for graduation instead? But when you give something to someone you love, you're cheerful about it. It like wells up inside you. And that's my hope and prayer for us as a body of Christ, is that we would find the joy in giving. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And we need to find the joy in giving. And we need to start thinking strategically about how we can give. I know a lot of us, we give, you know, occasionally when there's a disaster, for instance. How many we had so many different disasters, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes. How many have ever given in a time of disaster? You either text in a donation or called up some line. That's great, and we want to encourage that. But if that's the only time you're giving, you're limiting yourself. Some of us, we were like, well, we're going to give when our neighbors, you know, are short in rent. Some of you have blessed. You've stepped up to some people in our church family. They couldn't pay their bills. You came alongside them, and you wrote a check for $500, $1,000, $2,000. Some of you have really been gracious and generous in your giving to bless others. Others we've had, we try to be a blessing to those who are on mission for God. And so many of you have blessed people like Margaret going to Moldova, or Eric going to Thailand last year, and other people. You've gone behind a missions trip experience giving $5, $10, $50, or $500. And that's great. We need to be giving like that. But if the only time we're ever giving is in times of need or great disaster or on spontaneous moments, we're going to limit ourselves in how much of a blessing we can truly be. Most rich people give that way. They give spontaneously. But we need to be more thoughtful in how we give. We need to pray about it. Like, God, you've blessed me. How can I use this in the best way for the greater impact of your kingdom? How can I use the resources you've blessed me with to make a lasting difference and not just to give here or there? If you're feeling uncomfortable right now, I want to let you know that as I was studying for this, I was feeling very uncomfortable myself. There was a phrase I used to hear growing up, pastors need to learn to practice what they preach. And I was looking at my own life as I was studying. This whole series has been kicking me in the, And I need to realize that in the same way, I need to look at my heart. If I'm not giving with joy in my heart, I'm either selfish in my heart or I'm not thinking and praying enough about it. And so my hope is that all of us would start to really pray and seek after God. God, you've blessed me with this. How can I use it for you? And not only how can I use it for you reluctantly, God, but how can I find joy and cheer in my giving? And start to give it a lot of good thought. When I thought about a good example of thoughtful giving, one of the first things that came to me from the scriptures was the wise men bringing gifts to Jesus. Let's think about it. If the wise men got on their whatever, their camels or donkeys or whatever it is they rode, the train, if they traveled across and all of a sudden they approaching Jerusalem or Bethlehem, and they got there and they thought, oh crap, I forgot to get a baby gift. Did you bring anything? No. They thought, we're going to have to stop by Walmart and pick up a Beanie Baby or a Pillow Pet or something. No, they didn't do that. Too many times I've been on the way to a party and I turn to Brandy. Did you bring the gift? No, I thought you were getting some. Oh, detour. Text them, oh, we're going to be 5 minutes late. And run into 7-Eleven. Do they got a toy aisle still? You laugh because you've been there, haven't you? We need to think strategically about how we can give and ask God to lead us in that. And I'll say this before I continue, because this, whenever you go to church and you hear talks about money, which we don't do this often, but it's important. It's important for us to realize what God is calling us to do and how we can live to be a part of what he's doing around us and what he invites us to join him in. But if you're not a Christian and you're just visiting with us, you actually can just doodle and doze off if you'd like. Because I'm not speaking to non-Christians here. But if you are a follower of Christ, you need to be listening ears wide open. And I hope you are. I am. As I say this, I'm listening myself. Where do we begin? Where do we begin in our strategic giving? Well, I think that the first place we need to begin is where the scriptures tell us to begin. And I believe that starts with what's called the tithe. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says this. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. The word tithe in the storehouse, the word tithe in the Old Testament is mahaser. And this word in Hebrew means one-tenth. One-tenth of everything that God has blessed us with, everything God blessed them with, he asked them, bring it back to the storehouse. And the storehouse, most scholars believe, is a New Testament example of the local church. And we are to bring that one-tenth of everything that we make back to the storehouse so that God can use it. Why the church? Because I believe that God instituted the church to be the most powerful organization for transforming this world. And as we come together and give of our resources and give one-tenth of all of our income back, it mobilizes us and allows us to be able to be fulfilling the mission that God has called us to fulfill. Some people think, well, the tithing, isn't that just an Old Testament thing? I did some studying on that myself. And one of the things that stood out to me the most was from Matthew 23:23. Jesus himself is talking to the religious Pharisees of the day. And he says, I see that you tithe. You do all these things according to the Old Testament. You shouldn't stop those things. But you should also be taking care of the needy and the poor. You should do that in addition to this. Tithing, I believe, in the New Testament is the starting place for what God wants us to give. I believe that Jesus demonstrated for us sacrificial giving, not just stopping at the tithe, but going over and above the tithe in our lives to find ways that God can use us to be a blessing in the lives of those around us. Why tithing? Well, here's a couple things that I think tithing does. First of all, tithing teaches me to put God truly first in my life. The purpose of tithing, this is according to Deuteronomy 14:23 in the Living Bible. It says the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. Giving back to God is an act of worship. God is first, and so we want to first honor him by giving him what is first from us. I heard this phrase at a conference. I can't remember where or who exactly said it, but he said this. He says, in their family, they practice giving to God my first and my best and trusting him to bless the rest. I'm going to give God my first and my best, and I'm going to trust that he'll bless the rest. I know some of you are sitting in this room and you're like, you know, that's a good principle. Sure, that's an encouraging statement to hear somebody else say, but you really want us to live that way? Is God really asking me to live that way? In order for me to really fulfill that kind of thing, if I'm going to first come to God and give him a tithe, I'm going to have to reprioritize everything in my life. Exactly. If God isn't first in every area of our life, then things are out of alignment. And yeah, we can feel uncomfortable about this, but it's what God is. I'm not telling you this. This is the scriptures that I'm reading to us saying that God said he wanted our tithe. He wants us to bring to him our first and our best. It will force us into living life differently. It'll force us into living lives of sacrifice, living lives of generosity, And not just trusting in ourselves, but in trusting in Him who richly provides. When we put Him first, He will take care of us. Now, I'm not sitting here today saying if you give 10 bucks out of every 100, God's going to bless you with some magical check. God's not some genie in a bottle. If you rub Him the right way, you're going to have all your dreams come true. It's not like that at all. But God will bless us. In fact, this is the one area in Scripture that God gives us permission to test Him. God says, and I think I have this verse later in another. Yes, Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10, it says, God said, "Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." God wants to bless us. And God says, "Trust me. Take that step, and I will show you." I was reading a story of this business owner who was a Christian, and he decided he wanted God's blessing on his business. And so he met with this pastor, and he said, "Pastor, I want you to say a blessing over my business as I start it. And I've understood that God wants me to give a tithe. Should I tithe from my business as well, my business's profits?" And the pastor said, "Whatever God blesses you with, give back to Him." And so that first year, that pastor, that business owner came back and said, "This year was great. I made over $30,000 as this business started up this year, and I tithe 3%. And the pastor was, "Great. I'll keep praying that God blesses you." 5 years later, the business brought in over $200,000, and the guy came back and he met with the pastor and he says, I'm so grateful for your help, but I don't want to keep tithing anymore." He said, "It was so easy in the beginning to give just $3,000 of 30, but now that's $20,000. Do you know how much good I can do with $20,000? And the pastor just paused and said, "Do you want to keep God first?" And he said, "Yes, I want to keep God first." He said, "Then let's pray for God to reduce your income so you can keep paying Him first." It can be easy to give when it's just a small bit. I told you when I first heard this story, when I was a middle schooler, I made 20 bucks mowing lawns this one week, and a tithe talk came up, and I'm sitting there going, "Wow, I've been saving this money. I'm so glad I have it. We're going to the flea market afterwards. There's a $20 skateboard I want. I want it so bad, but God, okay, I'll give 10%. So I gave $2 that day, knowing I had 18. I figured I'll just make $20 more this next week. I'll go to the flea market next week. And so that day we went to the flea market after, I had $18 in my hand. We get there and the guy who sold skateboards wasn't even there. So that was kind of cool. So I'm walking around, and there was my second favorite shop in the flea market was this guy who sold swords and knives. Of course, a teenage guy is going to be drawn to that. And he had these little cool things, Chinese stars. Have you ever had a Chinese star? Throwing stars? Very cool for teenagers. And he was selling them for $3. I was like, "Wow, I could buy one of those." I was doing math in my head. If I make 20 this week, I'll still have 15 this week. I'll go ahead and buy a Chinese star. So I bought the Chinese star, put the $15 in my pocket, walked away. And as we were leaving, getting ready to get in the car, the skateboard guy showed up, and he's setting up his skateboards. And I was like, "Oh man!" But then again, I only had 18. So it was a short struggle in my mind. What am I going to do? But I decided I'll go over there anyways and take a look and pick out the one I want next week. So I went over there. I was looking at the skateboards. And as I was looking, he had this big sign, "Any skateboard, 20 bucks. And he said, "Which one you want?" And I said, "Well, I don't have enough. I'll come back next week, though." And he said, "How much do you have?" I said, "15. He goes, "Pick whichever one you want." It was awesome! Again, I'm not saying that God's always going to do that in your life, but God says, "Test me in this." If we put Him first and give Him our first and our best, we can trust Him for the rest. We need to learn to give back to God, because that's the way He gave to us. The truth is that God gave His first and His best. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross in our place before we had done anything to earn it. Before we had done anything to deserve it, God gave His first, His best to us. He set that example for us, and he wants us to follow that example. I have so much material to cover. I'm going to take 5 more minutes, and then I'm going to take 5 more after that. We're going to be here for 10 more minutes, okay? All right. The second thing is tithing increases my faith in God. Tithing increases my faith in God. 90% with God's blessing is better than 100% without God's blessing. 90%, where'd you get that number? Because if we start living this way, we're giving away 10%, our first 10% of what we make. God, this is yours. Use it however you want. And I'm going to live on 90%. We have been in so many situations where God has shown up when mathematically and according to the world's economy, things should not have come together, but God's economy is not the world's economy. God will always show up. Test him in this. In our family, we take giving very seriously. We talk about as a family, how are we going to give? And we decided to adopt those children. We've decided to adopt families at times of Christmas, like many of you here. We've decided that, yes, we're going to give 10% to the church, but we're also going to give to places like Compassion International, places that where we see local need, places that have values that are like ours. Some of you, your heart beats for certain things in this world, and God has put the way your heart beats in you for a reason, and you should give to bless those things. But put God first, and then, over and above your tithe, give offerings to help out. We need to develop within us and ask God to develop within us a love to give. We have been blessed with more, and so we need to learn to give more. God has poured into us, but not all for ourselves, but so that we can bless others. The next way we need to learn to give, not just strategically, but sacrificially. If we look at some quick examples in the Bible, there was a guy named David who was anointed king. And he was at a time of needing to come and present offerings to God. And it was suggested that he offer something instead of something so great. Theologians and scholars think that David offered one of the biggest offerings ever to God, valued in the billions of dollars as a king. He offered this to God, and his response was, I will not give God something that costs me nothing. He gave sacrificially. Solomon, when he was anointed, he was at this festival. He was supposed to sacrifice a bull, and he said, no, I'm going to give God my best. I'm going to give him 1,000 bulls. There's a story of a prostitute in the New Testament who came to Jesus. She had this jar of perfume. Scholars value it at a year's worth of wages. That's how much it was worth. And she took it and she poured it on Jesus' feet and she washed his feet with it. She gave sacrificially. In Luke 21, 1 through 3, it says this. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. Jesus was in the temple on this one day, and many rich people were coming. They were giving offerings to God. And then he noticed this one widow come up and give her offering. It says he also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. Jesus said, truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. It's because she gave sacrificially. She gave past the point of being able to give, and she gave till it hurt. God wants us to give sacrificially back to him so that he can use those things to be a blessing to others. I was traveling on a mission to Uganda and Tanzania, and I was blown away at the generosity I saw by these people who literally lived in mud huts, who worked all year for the ability to buy a chicken or a goat. They lived on nothing. But when you looked at them, it didn't seem like that at all. They were blessed people. And as we drove up in our buses and got out to bless them, to give them solar power for electricity, they had never seen electricity in their lives. It was crazy to be a part of this mission. As we were leaving, this family came up and they gave us this goat. I was like, what are we going to do with a goat? I turned to our leader and he was like, are we really taking this? And our host was like, you can't refuse this gift. And so we took the goat. We put the goat in the bus and we drove away. We ended up We ended up giving the goat to another family. But as our host was telling us, he said, it's very likely that this family saved up. They knew you guys had been coming. They probably saved up for at least 3 to 6 months to buy this goat. And they just gave it to you. And I'm like, what are we doing with this goat? They gave sacrificially, and I didn't even realize it. We need to learn to give sacrificially. God has so much that he wants us to accomplish. And when we come to him willing to say, God, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet on the 100% I have, but I'm going to trust you anyway. Test me in this, God says. Test me in this. Will you throw up that Prince William County map? God planted this church 3 years ago. Some of you have been here that long. Some of you are new to Hope Hill. But God has been pouring out a vision for us, not just to build a church. And what I mean by that is a literal building. God has not told us just to build a church. God has not told us just to build a gathering place where we come together to gather a week a month. I mean, an hour a week. God has been showing us from the beginning of Hope Hill Church that we are the church. Those of you sitting here and those who are soccer tournaments and those who are working today, we are the church on this earth. And God has put us in this area. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm leaving you here to be my disciples, my witnesses. First in Jerusalem, that's what their local neighborhood was. This is our Jerusalem, Prince William County. This is where God has said, I want you to be my ambassadors, my sent ones, my missionaries. I have blessed you so that you can be a blessing to this area. My hope for Hope Hill Church is that if we had to close our doors, Prince William County would say, where did that church go? They were such a blessing. I got a letter from someone who was able to visit a couple times. He goes to another church, and he said, I've come to a few of your special events, and do you know the impact? People at my church that have never even come to your church know about the things you do. You are creating a ripple effect in this county by the way that your church is only 3 years old and making an impact in this county. God put us in this county to be a blessing, not just to have this stuff for ourselves. Yes, we're to enjoy it, but we're to give it back. Show us the next slide. This is a church that partners with us. It's down 234. It's where we do youth group. They recently, we just worked out a situation where we have offices there. God wants to mobilize us and use us to do some amazing things in this county. Next slide. This is where our current attenders live. Do you see yourself? Now, there are some down here. Burmese, I think, is this you guys? That's pretty far. There are some people off the map, but these are who our tenders come. And so God wants us to be the church, not in Ashland Elementary, but we are the church there. That is where God has sent us, to be the church, to be a blessing to those around us. God has said, I'm putting you there so that others will know who I am. So every dot there represents a family that's a part of the church that is sent to those areas, those neighborhoods. It'd be really cool to put dots where everybody works. Then again, most of you would be in that little octagon up at the top. Or what is it? Is it an octagon? Pentagon? Pentagon. Oh, hello. Hello, it's called the Pentagon because it has 8 sides. Anyway, this is our mission. The reason why this area down here is so full is because that's Ashland Elementary. I wish I had a big poker. Maybe this will work. Okay, so Ashland Elementary is right in there. This is Prince William Forest. I know some of you live there, but I'm kind of just joking. But anyway, this is where we live. This is where God has put us. Next slide. This is where a lot of our community groups are. I think there's one or two that aren't up there. And my vision is that by the end of the year, we'll see this slide, next slide. We'll double. We'll have a community group planted up there in Manassas. We'll have one down here in Dumfries, Route 1. God wants us to bless this area. God has given us riches so that we can give back. And this is just locally. God wants us to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, and to the ends of the earth. But this is what Hope Hill is about. It's about being on mission for God, using our blessings, our riches, to bless this the people around us. The last census showed that only 8% of the people in this county claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Did you hear me? Only 8%. We live in a very diverse area where there's all kinds of thoughts, beliefs, religions, and we can reach the world just by reaching our neighborhood. Next slide. These are two communities that we do a lot of outreach in, the Forest Park Mobile Home Community where some of you live and the Grayson Village Mobile Home Park where some of you live. Off 234, we believe that God, actually, we believe it so much that we took steps to put what we call hope houses in each of these communities. For a year, we had a trailer. I believe it's that one right there. That trailer was lived in by two people from Hope Hill Church that considered themselves missionaries to this community. In that home, we did Bible studies. We did a food pantry. We had a coat and clothing closet. Kids were tutored. Kids from this neighborhood came together to get tutoring by students like Daniel Folks, who's sitting right out here. A lot of you have done play dates in this community, building relationships and getting to know. A lot of these homes have three or four families living in them. And those are trailer homes. God has put us in this area to be a blessing to neighborhoods like this and Grayson Village, where some of these homes have hosted backyard Bible clubs and play dates and all kinds of giveaways to the community. And those are just two of several in this area. God wants us to build a bridge between communities like this and communities like that so that all needs are met. Next slide. Grace Baptist has graciously given us free counseling space. There are a lot of people in this county who are hurting, and we've launched Hope Heals Ministry. In partnership with a couple local Christian counselors, we have started counseling offices at Grace Baptist Church. They give us free space, and we can meet needs there. We're going to be launching in the fall Celebrate Recovery to help people deal with addictions and struggles in their lives. God is using us, Hope Hill Church, to make a difference. Offices down here and youth group meeting at Pillar Church. We don't have our own building, but we don't need a building to make a difference. Will we one day have a building? I hope so. Last year, in the last 12 months, those of you sitting in this room that make up the regular people, there are the regular people of Hope Hill Church contributed close to $300,000 last year to make a difference in this area. If you do some basic studies on the people that come to our church, there are 68 people, actually 68 families that give regularly to Hope Hill Church. 68 families give regularly. There are a lot more, over 175 different families gave to Hope Hill Church last year. But 68 of you give regularly. If the 68 families represented gave an average of what the census says we make in this area, and we cut it down, if we brought in a tithe, if each of us gave 10%, we would easily bring in $480,000 with just those 68 regular families. $480,000. If we all did our part. And with that, we could see the Hope House ministry explode. We could see lives begin to be transformed and changed. We could see more ministers hired, more of you raised up to quit your jobs and start pouring into others. My hope is that some of you sitting in this room will be pastors on staff here soon. We'll be youth pastor on staff. We'll be our children's pastor on staff. We'll be missionaries sent out from here. We are a three-year-old church, but God has big plans for this church. And when we begin to give the way God wants us to give, the things we can accomplish are amazing. And God has called us to accomplish God-sized things when we get on board together and learn to give the way that God gave for us. Let's pray. I'm here this morning and I am so grateful for what God has already done. In no way do I want to have anybody leave here feeling bad. I want us to feel excited and encouraged about what's possible when we come before God and say, God, we are here on mission with you to make a difference. God, all I am and all I have is yours. Use me. And God will blow us away. We are here to fulfill his plan, his dream, his vision, his mission. My hope is that you're ready to follow. The first step that you might have, my last closing point as we pray together, is the first thing that God calls us to give, even before a tithe, is he calls us to give him our lives. He calls us to give him our heart. Earlier in the message, I said that God first gave to us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us before we were even his. The scriptures say that while we were his enemies and against him, he died for us. He died for us so that we could put our faith and trust in him, knowing that as he took our sins upon a cross, he forgave us. As his blood was shed, he paid for our sins. To any who would put their faith and trust in him and call out to him as Lord and Savior, he said, if you believe in me, I will come in and make my dwelling in you. I will be your king and you will be my people. And today, the first thing that you might decide to give is your heart. And if you're here this morning, you've never given your heart to him, my hope and prayer is that you do it right now. You would call out to him and say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my place on a cross. Thank you for paying for my sins. Please forgive me for the things that I know that are wrong, that I continue to do. Come into my life and make me new. My heart is yours. Help me to follow you. And the others in this room who maybe have done that at some other point in their life, maybe you believe in God wholeheartedly, but you know you're not living and giving the way he would want you to. My hope and prayer is that right now, in the stillness of the next few moments, as we reflect on these teachings, that you'd let God see into the depth of your soul and you'd say, God, where can I give more like you want me to give? Help me to trust in you. Help me take that step. Help me to give back to you because of the way that you've blessed me. And God, I thank you that as we close our service today, we do all of this in remembrance of you, because you first gave, you gave your body broken for us on the cross. And as we take a piece of bread, remembering that your body was broken for us, as we take a piece of bread and as we dip it in a cup of juice, a symbol of the blood shed for us, God, let us remember as we take communion together as a family that you gave first so that we can now give. So God, help us to, in response to what you've done for us, respond to you. We will have prayer teams in the back. I will be up here at the front. If you prayed to receive Christ and you gave him your heart today, please come let me know. If you have something you want to pray about, maybe you've been wanting to give for ages, you just don't know how, then just confess that to one of our prayer team members. Confess that to me and say, John, I want to give more, but I just don't know how. Then let's take that to God together. Let's pray. Let's let God lead us. As his Holy Spirit leads, let us now respond. Father God, move among us. In your name I pray. Amen. Think about what we've said and respond as you feel led.